Title of this message is How the Mighty Are Fallen. Our text is 2 Samuel 1:19. The beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. In the February Examiner, I quoted Pastor Rumbaugh and his reference to the denial of the Christian faith by Dr. Albert Mueller. Here is Jeff Maple's article on that denial. Quoting, governments have largely banned the worship around the country, so much so that many churches, thankfully, have stood up against their government's usurped authority and declared that Jesus Christ is head of the church and not the state. This is what John MacArthur Grace Community Church has recently done, and they have taken heat for doing so. However, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary students, led by Al Mueller, are now going to be required to sign a statement of blind allegiance to government mandates before they are accepted into the school. The statement found is at this link, and it will be posted on Sermon Audio. Ask students to affirm together that they will follow and obey all rules, policies, advisories, and practices required by government authorities, mandated by our institutional responsibility, and communicated by institutional leadership. It must be stated, the article continues, it must be stated that the statement makes no exceptions to a government intrusion into the right of worship freely, as God commands us to do. Bottom line, if you needed another reason not to go to the Southern Baptist Seminary, look no further. This is about as unbiblical as it gets. But watch for Southern Baptist churches to start following suit soon and requiring members to do so or face church discipline. And this article, and like I said, the location of this article will be posted on Sermon Audio. The author, Mr. Maples, makes a good observation. Watch for Southern Baptist churches to start following suit soon, requiring members to do so or face church discipline. This is with the very highest echelon of the Southern Baptist Convention demanding obedience to the Antichrist state. How long will it be before his demand will be made of all who are in the Southern Baptist Convention? Revelation 12:19, we read, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, who sits on the seat of all power and authority, has given authority and power to the dragon to wage war against those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. As the war between the Antichrist, that is the apostate world governments, and the Christ of God heats up here in the U.S., the thoughts and intents of evil hearts will be clearly exposed. Many of us will be shocked by the mighty who will fall in this war between Christ and the Antichrist. This war is exposing the Achans in the camp of the Israel of God. Achan is identified as the troubler of Israel who brought about the wrath of God upon Israel. And you'll find that in Joshua 22:20 and 1 Chronicles 2:17. Now, according to Wikipedia, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary is a Southern Baptist seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. It is the oldest of the six seminaries affiliated with the Southern Baptist Convention, SBC. The seminary was founded in 1859 at Greenville, South Carolina, where it was first lodged on the campus of Furman University. After being closed during the Civil War, it moved in 1877 to a newly built campus in downtown Louisville, and later moved to its current location in Crescent Hill neighborhood. For more than 50 years, Southern has been one of the world's largest theological seminary, with the FTE enrollment of over 3,300 students in 2015. Now, notice the date, 1859. No doubt, the foundation of the Southern Baptist Seminary in 1859 was solidly Orthodox Reformed Calvinism. In addition, we can be assured that the founders did all they could to see that the Reformed faith would continue to be taught, much like Yale and Harvard tried to do. Reformed faith continued to be taught in Yale and Harvard. These institutions sought to train young men to effectively use the sword of the Spirit to confront and conquer the powers of darkness. In the past, the FBC has been known as a bastion of solid doctrine. Its influence for godliness over the past generations must not be overlooked. But past godliness will not cover present ungodliness. We read in Ezekiel 33:12, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver them in the day of his transgression. Now, let's ask some very troubling questions. First, how many Southern Baptist churches that have professed undying allegiance to the Word of God will depart from the now openly apostate Southern Baptist Convention? Second, what will those who profess to love the Lord Jesus Christ do as the refining fires of persecution in the Americans are starting to burn hot and will burn away the dross? No denomination nor Christian that professes a Reformed faith will be exempt. How many Southern Baptist churches that profess the Orthodox faith will continue to support the Southern Baptist Convention seminaries with their money and with their students? Fourth, how will the many Southern Baptist pastors react to the Southern Baptist apostasy, the choice now that is being forced upon them? Many professed Bible-believing Southern Baptist churches do not own their property, and many pastors' retirement funds are held by the Southern Baptist Convention. Will they choose to serve the sovereign God they preach, or will they choose to follow where their treasure is, that is, in the Southern Baptist Convention? Number five, how many will face the fire rather than bow to the great image of man? That image of man is destined to be ground to fine powder by the stone cut out without hands. Furthermore, we read in Matthew 3:12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. It's obvious that God is using this pandemic to purge his floor. He is separating the wheat from the chaff as he exposes the true heart and motives of those in high, exalted, and respected position. He's exposing the true heart of teachers who refuse to go back to the classroom, a situation for which we should be thankful. Second, of politicians, the heart of politicians who made great and glowing promises that they wanted to work for the people, when actually their only interest was to be an unchallenged God in their limited areas of domain. Third, the hearts of religious leaders who are held in great reverence by the world and by the religious community. Do professed Christians prefer God, or do they fear God, or do they fear the dragon of Revelation 12:17? The dragon represents apostate men who have a common goal to destroy Christianity from off the earth, as they make war against those which keep the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Psalms chapter 2 and Revelation 12:17. How the mighty have fallen. 1 Samuel 28 records Israel's coming war with the Philistines and Saul's visit to the witch. Chapter 29 records the Philistines sending David home before the war with Israel. Chapter 30 records the Amalekites taking Ziklag and David recovering everything. In verse 7 is the first time David checked with the Lord since before he sought safety from Saul with the Philistines. Chapter 31 records Israel's defeat in the war with the Philistines and Saul's death at the hands of the Philistines and their display of the body, Saul's body in Bethshan. In verse 10, chapter 31 also tells the recovery of Saul's body by the mighty men of Geshgal. Now on to 2 Samuel 1. Samuel opens with David receiving the news of Saul's death and David's lamentation. 2 Samuel 1, starting with verse 18. Also, he bade them teach the children of Judah using the bow. Behold, it is written in the book of Jasher, the beauty of Israel is slain upon the high places. How are the mighty fallen? Tell it not in Gath, publish it not in the streets of Ascalon, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. Ye mountains of Gibeah, let there be no dew, neither let there be rain upon you, nor fields of offerings. For there the shield of the mighty is validly cast away, the shield of Saul, as though he had not been anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan turned not back, and the sword of Saul returned not empty. Saul and Jonathan were lovely and pleasant in their lives, and in their death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. Ye daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with other delights, who put on ornaments of gold upon your apparel. How are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? O Jonathan, thou wast slain in thine high places. I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto me. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. Now, the fall of the mighty men of religious renown, such as Al Mohler, is certainly a cause for the wicked to rejoice. For in his fall, they see the triumph of humanism. On the other hand, Christians should weep over the fall of those who appear to be mighty men of the faith. We should be distressed as we see men who have been held in highest esteem by the church and by the world. We should be distressed when the mighty men are revealed as grievous wolves in sheep's clothing and they depart from their Christian profession of faith, actually a faith they never had. Acts 20:29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Then in John 2:18 we read, little children, it is the last time. As you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Mueller's demand has made manifest that he was not of us. Al Mueller not only fell in the midst of battle, but he openly deserted, and he joined the dragon in the dragon's war against Christ. How many honest, sincere, professed Christians do not know nor understand the serious biblical issues involved here, and he will draw them away after him to serve the beast. Now, let me give you some observations here. The war between God and the dragon started in the garden. The Southern Baptist Convention was number two. The Southern Baptist Convention was organized to teach young men to use God's weapon of war against the gates of hell, 2 Corinthians 10:4. Third, the mighty men of God who were trained by the early Southern Baptist Convention and who used the sword properly were effective for many years. Number four, the war has claimed many high and mighty men in the religious war, and even claimed men out of the Orthodox Calvinistic community. Number five, pride, as exhibited by King Saul, enters in, and they try to exercise their inborn desire to be their own God and ruler over others as God. Their denial of and their departure from the command word of God has caused them to be slain by the dragon in the midst of the heated battle. How many men of renown have deserted the Lord's army of victory and have joined the Antichrist army of death and destruction? Far too often, those who reach a position of authority and esteem are taken over by pride. A popular evangelical author and pastor, Max Lucado, apologized for past comments on homosexuality after outrage at the National Cathedral. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Did pride move Max to apologize for preaching biblical truth? Did he fear losing the praise of men? Did he fear the loss of income and following? Only the Lord knows. But we can render righteous judgment according to Scripture and say that he feared the condemnation of the Sodomites. So he compromised. Genesis 19, verse 11. Now, Revelation 13, 4. I'll give you time to turn to it. Revelation 13, verse 4, starting with verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Then in verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their hand and in their foreheads. Verse 17, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or name of the beast or the number of his name. The beast. There's been many arguments and discussions over who is the beast. The beast represents fallen man's submission to the dragon and his united effort to fulfill Nimrod's dream of subduing the whole world under a central committee. The beast is the Antichrist humanist world order, where man is his own God and man is the measure of all things. Man's goal here is to create a new world order, a new paradise on earth without God. And I might mention that one of the basic motives of outer space exploration is to find an inhabitable planet where there is no God and they can build their new world order with no God. Of course, we know that it's a vain hope. and spending multiplied millions of dollars to pursue that vain hope. Those who submit to that humanist order are taking the mark of the beast. COVID was God's sent for the radical left. However, by faith, we understand God is using the virus, or that virus was created by man or not, to accomplish his purpose of expanding the kingdom of God over the whole earth. The pandemic has been an excuse to shut down churches, to control elections, and to completely neutralize both the Constitution and the world of, and the Word of God. There's no need for a con, as the virus has been a convenient excuse to destroy the Constitution and Christian obedience, according to Matthew 10, verse 25. The average American has raised no alarm over the destruction of the faith that was once delivered to the saints, nor have they issued any alarm over the destruction of the Constitution. Some years ago, Jerry Falwell sued the state of Virginia so he could incorporate. He needed the federal handouts available to religious institutions in order to build his great institution where he could teach young men to serve the Lord. Did Mueller see the handwriting on the wall and bow to the Antichrist order in order to maintain the inflow of paper money? Quoting again, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary students led by Al Mueller are now going to be required to sign a statement of blind allegiance to the government, to government mandates before they're accepted into the school. Acting as God over the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Mueller requires all students who profess to be seeking to serve the Lord God to sign a binding covenant of obedience to the beast. Doing so, they take the mark of the beast and agree to submit to the dragon if they really want to learn how to serve the Lord. How absurd can that possibly be? Of course, Christian parents have been sending their children to the temple of the dragon for many years to be trained in the ways of the beast. So why should they complain about Dr. Mueller's requirement to submit to the beast? Now, when they graduate from Southern Baptist Seminary and go into a pastor-teacher position, will they take that commitment to the beast with them? Their commitment to serve the state and not disagree with the state? Why did Mueller make such an agreement, a requirement? Pride? Fear? Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. Pride that he has, that he was or is the God over the SBC seminary? Question. Proverbs 29:25. Fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Was it fear that he would lose the government subsidies for the seminary? Now let's look at some applications. First, ye daughters of Israel, that is the bride of Christ, weep over the mighty who have fallen and will fall in the midst of the battle against the dragon in these last days. Second, we must not rejoice when respected religious leaders fall away and join with the dragon. We should weep and pray that their apostasy will not lead a multitude of sincere yet unlearned Christians into sin of worshiping the state. Third, we should be greatly encouraged by Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In other words, Jesus Christ is the great second person of the Trinity. He is very God of very God, and therefore as God, the whole government of the universe is upon his shoulders. It is not upon our shoulders. There's no point in us fretting. Furthermore, it is sinful when man tries to take over the government of everything as the humanists do, as is being attempted with this so-called New World Order and this reset and all the different terms that it's getting. The whole purpose of it all is to renew Nimrod's commitment of a one world government apart from God. Fourth, Isaiah 9, 6 through 7 is a very comforting text, because when we have the grief and problems, we can commit them to Christ, knowing that the government of all things is upon his shoulders. Fifth, we are told that the increase of his government, there shall be no end. It is a total government, and though its growth is slow, it is total. As the ages roll, the magnificent, now I can't say that word, got my tongue tangled around my T and I cannot say that. Magnificent, well, I'll just have to pass it, you know what I mean. And the splendor and perfection of his government will only be magnified. Finally, we must have his empowering grace and mercy to fulfill the unique responsibilities he has assigned to each of us. Let us pray. Father, we come before you through the free access we have provided in the sacrifice of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see exalted men falling out to the enemy of all righteousness, we pray that you will open the eyes of their followers to understand what is taking place. Give open eyes and understanding grace to the godly, so they will refuse to follow the apostates into the camp of the enemy. We pray for many godly preachers and laymen in the Southern Baptist Convention who must face the consequences of Moeller's Antichrist demands. They have many difficult decisions ahead, provide an abundance of grace that they will see the implication of Moeller's clearly unscriptural requirement and stand for Christ in the midst of this untoward generation. We pray for the churches and the young men who desire to preach and teach your word. Protect the godly from the many false shepherds that are among us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and understanding hearts, that we may be able to discern truth from error. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.